Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Sticking with the season, we know it's usually a terrible idea to get puppies if you don't know what you're getting into particularly. Unless, of course, you are Michelle McCaffrey, who got a brand new puppy just at the weekend gone. And it's a very special kind of puppy. Let's chat about it now because Michelle is in Limerick. Good morning to you, Michelle.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
How are you doing? And congratulations on puppy arrival, I believe. Is that the right thing to
yes.
say?
He's arrived. He has arrived. He's 16 weeks old.
So 16 weeks old? New,
16 weeks old, yeah. He's not the, an 8 week old.
I'm looking at a photograph of you holding the alleged puppy. That's quite a big puppy, nearly the size of you. A lovely black Labrador. Well, tell us, first of all, what this is all about. You're a foster mum, isn't it?
I'm a foster mum for Autism Assistance Dogs Ireland. We're a charity that are based in Cork that provide fully trained assistance dogs to children with autism. And we are fostering them in Munster. So,
you mammy the dogs?
I mammy the dog, I do. Myself and my family, we mammy the dogs, we socialise the dogs. So we normally would get the puppies at 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
And then we'd start the socialisation of the puppies. Getting them ready to meet the world, basically, because that's their job.
You don't have to train them, per se. You're socialising them, introducing them to the world. What do you and your family do with the puppies?
So what we do, obviously, as an 8 week old, you know, there's a lot of work that's already put into the puppies, getting them house trained. So we continue that. We'll do basic obedience with them, you know, getting them to behave themselves in the house. Because they are a working dog, you know, I think that's what we try to get across to people, you know, they are going to be a working dog, so they have to be well behaved in a house, you know, they're not your normal mad puppy. Yes, they are, when you get them, like, but you have to try and train that, and then socialising is bringing them out into, you know, shops, restaurants.
So your new puppy, have you got a name for the new arrival?
His name is actually Shia Khan.
Shia Khan
was actually, their litter was called, we'd say the first responders all called them their names. So he's called after the Garda Shia Khan.
Oh, that's a good idea. First responder themed litter of puppies.
First responder teams, yes.
Now, in the house, do you already have family pet dogs that live there all the time?
I do. Oh. I actually have two of my own dogs, Ellis and Marty. And I also have another puppy in training for autism assistance dogs. He's Triton. He's 8 months old.
So you have two, you're fostering two puppies, which will
two puppies
are getting
moment,
formal
yeah.
training in Cork. You're socialising them. And you've two dogs in the house as well. How do the dogs who live there all the time react to the temporary new arrivals?
Ellis is an ex-ADI dog. So he really... You know, he just embraces the puppies. They keep him kind of young at heart. Marty then is an older dog. He's a rescue dog that I adopted 5 years ago.
Wow.
And he kind of puts manners on them, to be honest with you. You know, when they come in and they just leap all over the place, he kind of tends to kind of, you know, you're not allowed to do that now. So
I see.
He puts manners. He definitely teaches the puppies, you know, the way to kind of behave, if you like.
Respect for their elders.
Yes.
All of that.
Yes.
If only
yes.
we could do the same with humans. Seriously.
I know. It's easier to work with dogs, trust me.
Actually, that's what it says. I didn't know that autism assistant dogs can retire.
Oh, yes, they do. Well, like, obviously, they have a working life, you know, and you'd like to think that they, like, by the time you see they go to a child with autism, they're almost two because there's that much training involved in them, you know, and then they will hopefully work until they're about 10, 11. Depending on their health, and then they'll retire after that. So they're not like, I suppose a lot of people think, you know, that they're 24/7 working. They're not. A working dog is to keep, you know, a child safe. That's the reason that people will apply for autism assistance dogs, is to keep them safe out and about. You know, they're a flight risk, so the dog will stop them from taking off and helps with anxiety
as
well.
Is that what they do? Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch. Now, I even met, yesterday we were at a fundraiser in Galway, and I met a lovely mum who's only got her dog 6 months, and she told me that, you know, they actually were able for the first time to go pick a Christmas tree the previous day.
Wow, is that because some autistic children, they take flight and...
They take flight, they'd be classed as a flight risk, yes. Yeah. So families that will apply are really looking for that safe, safety net, you know, that the dog will keep the child safe.
What does the dog do?
So what it is the dog's jacket, we'd say the child is harnessed onto the dog's jacket. The mum or dad will have control of the lead and give the commands.
Mm-hmm.
And the child will hold a little handle on the jacket. And then if the child is ready to bolt, the dog will stop the child from bolting.
Wow, the dog can sense.
The dog will sense, yeah. The dog will feel the little pull, you know. And the training that goes into these dogs is incredible. Like, once they leave us at a year old, they go down to Cork for professional 5 months with the professional trainers.
Dogs are incredible, aren't they?
Oh, they're better than people.
Now, the lovely thing is the socialisation that you do when you have the puppy with a red jacket, puppy in training on them, you can pretty much go anywhere, can't you, except for places where other animals are being kept.
We can. The only places we can't go is Dublin Zoo and Photo Island, and that's because of cross-contamination, which you perfectly understand. But other than that, we can go everywhere. You know, we can go into restaurants, they can go to churches, hospitals. A lot of the dogs will go, you know, into GPs with their children.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, those kind of stressful. I suppose the big thing that people forget, you know, with children with autism, like, it's a different world. Yeah. And, you know, the dogs just, they help them in such, you know, anxious places that we take for granted. As I will explain to people, you know, a simple trip to McDonald's is a very stressful one for a family with a child with autism. But this helps then, you know, they can come back into the community, basically.
Yeah. Do you have to treat them differently to other dogs?
You do. Obviously, like, you know, they are a working dog. So when they wear their little red jacket, the big thing that I suppose we would, as fosterers, find is people trying to pet them, call them, you know, whistle. I find here in Limerick, like, if I go into the city and I'm walking down, you know, one of the main streets, the amount of men in particular that will try and whistle at the dogs to try and get their attention. It is just, it's hard, you know, because if you have
Keep
a dog, it's very hard. They still, you know, the awareness, I suppose, of seeing a working dog, you know, because there's a lot of dogs now, there's dogs for the disabled as well that help people, you know, as well as guide dogs for the blind and ourselves, we'd say, providing autism assistance dogs. You know, just look at the dog from afar, admire the work they're doing, but don't distract them.
Don't be distracting from the job.
It's a big job, you know, and like as we go to school visits, you know, we're telling the children, because children will teach adults, that, you know, when you see the dog, just admire them from afar and know that this is their uniform. That, like, if you were to see a guard on the street, you're not going to go over and pet his head, you know.
Shia Khan is busy at work. Yes.
Shia Khan is busy. Yeah, I haven't really ventured out now into shopping centres yet with him, but maybe today now I'll brave it and see how I get on.
And Michelle, is there expense for you in taking care of the foster dog?
No, there isn't. Like, the charity provides everything to fosterers. So when we get the puppies, we get everything. They're crate trained and they stay in the house. They're indoor dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You get their crate. You get all of their equipment, you get their food, the vets. These dogs are treated like royalty, like nothing is too much for these dogs. If they get a sniffle, they are literally gone to the vets to make sure that they're okay, because they're very precious. The one thing I suppose I tell people is the cost of these dogs. Our dogs cost $25,000 each to train.
Wow.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. And that's what that's what AADI do.
That's what AADI, they provide these dogs then free of charge to the families. The families don't pay $25,000 for our dogs.
But you're working voluntarily here. That's the...
We do voluntarily, yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it now, coming up for 8.5 years.
It must be difficult to give the dog back when you've socialised them and looked after them.
It is. Listen, you know, they become a part of your family. Like, I have three children myself, and like, your dog is like a fourth child, because they're different to your own pets. You obviously take your own pets out walking and, you know, free runs. But these dogs, because they're able to go into the shops, they're like a little baby. You bring them everywhere. And they become your fourth child, you know. And when you do have to hand them back, like, as I keep explaining to people, you know, my sunglasses are on my head when the dogs are going back. And no matter what weather, the sunglasses have to come down.
Do they?
My puppy supervisor, Jesse, will tell you that. I cry bitter tears.
Not too bitter, because you know you're doing, you're handing them off to
you
a,
know
a good
that
reason.
You have to understand why you're doing it. Yes. You're doing it, you know, to provide a child this very precious gift, okay. What I would say, you know, because
this is the best
it's
way
life-changing.
To... Yes, okay. It's life-changing for you
it
and it's life-changing for them and for the wee kids who get hold of them in the end. Michelle Caffrey, thank you for your service as foster dog mammy and volunteer with Autism Assisted Dogs Ireland. And we wish you and your family a happy Christmas and also Shia Khan.
But, oh, thanks very much.
We send him a nod of the head. No petting or cuddling. Yeah, we get the
no petting. Have a lovely Christmas.
You too. Slán.